Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most important, fastest-growing, and now largest segment of society. To those of you who know that the world's political, religious, economic, and media institutions are corrupt, that they're counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed, our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, which will begin with our good friend IQ Al-Rasuli, is toll-free, 877-300-7645. IQ, you're right in the midst of what has become a raging fire. Islam is out of control, is it not?
Not really out of control. They're just showing themselves. They were dormant for the last 500 years because of the Ottoman Empire. But they're not out of control. This is Islam. Out of control are the news media. The out of control are our liberal, completely, utterly out of touch with reality leaders. They are the out of control.
Yeah. Islam is doing what it has always
Absolutely.
Done.
Absolutely.
The difference with Europe now versus as it has previously been is that beginning in the 1960s with the formation of OPEC, there became a means to fuel the exportation of Islamic terrorism. Prior to that time, Muslims were simply terrorizing their fellow Muslims. And that has increased, and now with the immigration of Muslims into Europe, Europe is ablaze.
Correct. But what bothers me is this. The Muslims say that we, the non-Muslims, are slandering their prophet. There are two things here wrong. If you Google the word slander, slander is to insult somebody who is decent.
Yeah.
But Muhammad is beneath contempt, so it is impossible to slander him. And yet nobody is pointing this out to the Muslims. Another thing.
Let me just comment on what you said.
Okay.
Slander carries the connotation of defaming someone, of misrepresenting them. You know, if you've been slandered, the implication is always that you have been unfairly characterized or misrepresented. And in the case of Islam, when Charlie Hebdo shows him naked and engaged in a perverted sexual act, that is not slander, because Muhammad was a sexual pervert. He engaged in pedophilia, incest, and rape. So he was a grotesque criminal sexual pervert. So you can't slander him by showing him in a sexual act. When they show him inspiring terrorism, that's also not slander, because Muhammad, during the first 10 years of the Islamic era, inspired 75 terrorist raids. He began Islam with the terrorist raid of Badr, which was nothing but a criminal armed robbery.
Yet our leaders and our news media, who are supposed to know what they're talking about, they don't say anything. The other item, which is also at fault,
yes,
they keep telling us that the prophet of Islam, Muhammad, was never a prophet.
Correct.
Nowhere, I'm raising my voice, unfortunately, nowhere in the whole of the Quran is there mention of Muhammad being a prophet. In fact, on several important verses, Allah says to Muhammad that you are only a warner, W-A-R-N-E-R, not
right.
a prophet.
That's right.
I'll give you an example. Al-Imran 3.179. It says, Allah will not disclose to you, Muhammad, the secrets of the unseen. Well, if he doesn't disclose the secrets of the unseen, how can he tell the future? Al-A'raf 7.188. Muhammad says to his followers, if I had knowledge of the unseen, the future, I should have multiplied all good and no evil would have touched me. Yusuf 10:20. The unseen is only for Allah to know. So verse after verse after verse from different chapters, it asserts that Muhammad was never a prophet. He
right.
never prophesied anything, by the way, never. And yet,
he made a couple of predictions. The most common prediction he made was called the Day of Doom, And he used his hand as a reference to indicate that 500 years after his death, the Day of Judgment would occur. It was called the Day of Doom, and that all non-Muslims would be eradicated at this time. And so the end of the world from Muhammad's perspective, and he, according to his Day of Doom, was 500 years after his death. Now, of course, he died in the early 7th century. 500 years has come and gone many times over, so his only real attempt at prophecy he got wrong. Now, he described this Day of Doom in a hadith verse that's quoted a lot by Muslims, where it says, at that time, the rocks and the trees will cry out, and they'll say, there's a Jew hiding behind me, kill him.
Yes.
Muhammad made a couple of feeble attempts at prophecy. He got all of them wrong.
So he's not a prophet. So on
no.
both...
Oh, by the way, there's something far more important than he's just not a prophet. Now, it is important because we're constantly being told that Charlie Hebo blasphemed the prophet of Islam and the prophet Muhammad. And you're right, the term prophet and Muhammad should never be combined because Muhammad was not a prophet by the Quran's definition and by any rational definition. But you can go one step further. There really is a God. His name is Yahweh. And he tells us that the way that we can tell for certain whether or not he is inspiring what somebody is saying is through prophecy. And since Allah could not provide prophecy credentials to Muhammad, Allah is not God.
We know that.
Absolutely.
Even from based on the scripture of Islam, Allah cannot possibly be God. Because every verse in the Quran contradicts every verse in the Bible that it refers to. So it is impossible for Allah, the God of Moses and Jesus, to be the same as the God of Muhammad. Yeah. Impossible.
The Quran claims that it confirms the Torah when in fact it contradicts the Torah in every possible way. And therefore its fundamental claim for credibility is untrue, making the entire religion untrue. But yet, nonetheless, Muslims will kill for it.
I don't mind. I don't care for what they kill. But we have the media who actually meet with these people and talk, let's say, with Anjam Chowdhury or this mullah or this imam, and not a single one of them says, okay, you call him prophet. What did he prophesy? A simple question. One simple question. And how will the imam answer?
Yeah.
No matter
you've
how
got
we
Yasha,
answer,
you've got Yasha Yah with a, you know, the entire book is available from the Dead Sea Scrolls, you know, dated to 250 BCE, and it is filled from beginning to end with accurate prophecies, things that occurred much after even the document, the oldest written copy, was penned. And thousands of accurate prophecies. So you could say, all right, Isaiah claims to be a prophet. What are some of his accurate prophecies? And you can detail them. But there isn't a single person in the media who wants to question Islam's credibility. And so no one ever says, okay, so he's supposed to be the prophet of Islam. Where in the Quran did he provide a single prophecy?
It's a relatively simple question.
Right.
And yet nobody asks the question. And the same thing about the word slander. How are we slandering him when he is beneath contempt? How are we slandering him when he was a mass murderer,
right to the bottom of it and say, all right, depicting Muhammad as a sexual pervert, how is that slander? Did Muhammad commit acts of rape, and wasn't he engaged in incest and pedophilia, according to the Quran and Hadith? And if you don't know that, then why are you a reporter? Why are you pretending to be a journalist if you don't know the basics of Muhammad's life?
But, all the top-level news media, TV, from O'Reilly to whoever, Hannity, are completely clueless. Clueless. I mean, they're really clueless. And yet, all the information you provided for them since 2003 is available, free of charge. And nobody wants to spend the time to look at it.
and as is the case with your writings. But it is, you know, here in America, I did 3,000 hours of talk radio interviews, alerting people to the true nature of Muhammad, the truth about Islam, and have made that book available to anyone who wants to read it for free. Did all the interviews pointing people to the book, which they could read, which and all Prophet of Doom does, as you know, it takes the five earliest Islamic sources, the most credible scripture sources in Islam, and uses them to reorganize the Quran chronologically and to set it into the context of Muhammad's life so it can be understood. And so, with it all made available to them, what's the excuse of the journalist for being so ignorant?
No idea. Honestly, it's beyond me. It's beyond me. I can't figure it out. Another thing, if I may point out, there were massive demonstrations all over France only a few days ago, estimated at 3 million citizens, who were led by political leaders from 40 countries, excluding, of course, the treacherous Muslim in the White House, Barack Hussein Obama. Now, this is very interesting. His stupid distractors are saying that he made a political mistake, not realizing he didn't make a political mistake. Mm-hmm. He actually made himself aligned with the Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
Because after all, had he joined the other 40 people, what were they joining? They were joining a movement allowing people to depict Muhammad in derogatory terms. Of course, it's not derogatory. You and I know it's not derogatory because he was beneath contempt. But for a man like Obama, who is a Muslim, who in the UN said anybody who defames the Prophet has no future, well, he wouldn't go. Obviously, he wouldn't go. He sided with the Muslims. And he's saying
that someone who defames the Prophet, as you know, he was not a prophet, and you can't defame him. This is this false notion that Muhammad was actually a decent individual when he was the biggest scumbag who ever lived. It will not live, is what he's basically saying. The future, there is no future for those, which means their lives will be shortened by Islamic terrorists screaming Allahu Akbar. That's what he was saying. Go back to Shattering Mist. Thank you. Immediately after the demonstration of Islam's repulsive nature in Paris last week, everyone tried to present the perpetrators as lone wolves. And then they want to present them as being radicalized by a former janitor who really was out of touch with Islam. And yet, today we read that in Paris they've arrested some 12 additional suspects, all of which were associated with these fellows, all of which were Muslims. Doesn't sound like that lone wolf idea is valid anymore, is it?
But they were never valid. You know that, I know that, and any decent human being with a bit of logic would know that. Our leaders have been misrepresenting the facts and reality. Our leaders are criminals. They really are criminals. They have imported the most destructive group of people on planet Earth, called Muslims. Why? Europe was able to integrate a lot of different nationalities. A lot.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
The only group that cannot integrate, will not integrate, is not allowed to integrate, are Muslims.
Right.
That's all.
Yeah. And it's not that the societies won't allow Muslims to integrate. It's that Muslims won't allow fellow Muslims to integrate into the society.
The Quran forbids it.
Right.
The Quran tells us if you are friends with Jews, Christians, Buddhists, and Hindus, you are of them.
Yes.
That means
and then you become an infidel.
It's not top secret, good God. It's not top secret. Everything about Islam has been in the light of day for the last 1,400 years.
Yeah, the problem with Islam is that it is considered and presented as a religion similar to Christianity and to Judaism. when in fact Islam is at its heart a crime syndicate. That is what it was born as. That is what it remains. So it's a crime syndicate masquerading as a religion. And while I'm sure that sounds harsh to some, the reality is that it's a fact. I mean, there is no question that Islam was conceived by Muhammad as a crime syndicate. That was its entire purpose. It had no other purpose other than to commit crimes to enrich Muhammad.
The year he arrived into Medina, in the year 622 AD, after 16 months, he turned Medina into the first starting point of the first organized crime syndicate in human history.
Yep.
That's what it was.
Yep.
And Islam has never changed. It is an organized crime syndicate.
Right.
This
crime syndicate is
criminal.
Is so far-reaching because the pledge that Muhammad made with the tribal leaders of Yathrib, today's Medina, prior to entering, was that they promised that they would wage war against all mankind on behalf of Muhammad. And the term wage war is really highly misleading because they never fought a war. And the first Muslims never fought a war. They never fought against an armed foe. They never fought an army. They were strictly terrorists robbing civilians.
That's true. That's absolutely true. The only time they fought a war is 2 years after he was dead.
Correct.
That was called the
War of Compulsion.
They were subjugated to Islam.
Yes. And even then, while it was a war on one side, the other side was also not an army. The first time they actually fought an army was when, after compelling all Arabs to either convert to Islam or to die, then Islam turned its fangs on Persia. And it's the first time that Muslims fought an actual battle against troops, and they prevailed because by that time, Persia and Rome had fought each other into oblivion, where both Rome and Persia were so weakened that by the time that Islam showed up, and Islam was so savage, more savage than anything the world had ever seen, they prevailed over Persia and then eventually over the Byzantines.
And then over India and Europe and China and everywhere else. Yes.
Yes.
It's an organized crime syndicate.
And when the first Muslims, after Muhammad, engaged in this bit of world conquest, was their primary, and I'm going to have you answer this question when we return from the break, but was their primary goal to conquer land or to steal property? And we'll address that when Shattering Myths continues with IQ Al-Rasuli after the commercial break. Here's Shattering Myths. We're having a conversation with IQ Al-Rasuli, the foremost expert on Islam, the author of Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam, available at Amazon.com. IQ, one of the things that we expected, because it has been consistent throughout the last decade, is that the moment an attack occurs that is clearly and undeniably Islamic, that the perpetrators are not only screaming Allahu Akbar, in this case they actually told a woman that I'm going to spare your life, but you need to cover yourself up, wear the burqa, in other words, read the Quran and convert to Islam, that when you have an attack that is clearly Islamic, perpetrated entirely on Islamic principles, that the first thing the media would do is try to disassociate the attack from Islam. And in this particular case, if it's not Islamic, why are there riots in Pakistan over the characterization of Muhammad in the magazine?
Because the media don't have the intelligence to answer your question. And I'm not being facetious. They haven't got the intelligence. They are criminally negligent.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, they are. They are aiding and abetting the very criminals who are the Muslims, and they are Muslims. We're not talking about terrorists. They are Muslims. Nothing to do with terror. Islam is terror. No matter how you want to slice Islam, you end up with terror. So it's no good talking about Muslim terrorists. Every Muslim is a terrorist. Why?
Yeah, that's
either jihadis in action or jihadis in stealth. But both
or frauds.
Of them are jihadis.
Or frauds and hypocrites. Now, if according to the Quran's Ninth Surah, if you are not either engaged in perpetrating jihad, which is defined as using all available weapons to attack and eliminate the enemies of Allah, who are defined as non-Muslims, or you're not supporting it through financing it, providing the weapons, running campaigns on behalf of jihad, that you cease to be a Muslim.
Right.
So the Quran itself defines all Muslims have to be jihadists, and if there's a Muslim who is pretending to be peaceful, or somebody wants to describe Muslims as genuinely peaceful and moderate Muslims, then they have no clue what the Quran actually says. They don't exist. Not according to the Quran.
According
and if they don't
Quran.
Exist according to the Quran, how can they exist since the Quran is the fundamental foundation of Islam?
Absolutely. Since the Quran is infallible.
And it's according to a Muslim.
Word of Allah. Anything deviating from the Quran will be imperfect.
Right. Which means there cannot be a peaceful Muslim,
Absolutely.
Which means there cannot be a moderate Muslim, because the Quran in the Ninth Surah says explicitly that any Muslim who is unwilling to engage in jihad becomes a hypocrite, and that good Muslims, jihadists, are ordered to kill them so that Allah can torture them in hell.
Correct. But furthermore, there are no such thing, there are no moderate Muslims. There are no radical Muslims. There are no extremist Muslims, and there are no militant Muslims. These terms have been created by the Western media and Western politicians to get away from actually confronting that the elephant is filling the room.
Correct.
They don't know how to deal with Islam, so they brush it under the carpet. But you can't keep on brushing it under the carpet.
Yeah, they call them extremists. There's international conferences now on extremist violence, extremist terrorism, and radicalization. And yet, there is no radical Quran. There is no extremist Quran. There is no moderate Quran. There is no moderate prophet. Islam is comprised of one individual, and there's only five sources which date to within 200 years of his death. And those... That one prophet who never predicted anything accurately, so he's not a prophet, but the founder of Islam, Muhammad, and all of the sources that were committed to writing within 200 years of his life are the same, and they all predict and present the same story, and that of a terrorist dogma, of a crime syndicate, of murder and rape and torture and thievery, and all of those things being condoned. So there is only one Islam, and the Islam that we're witnessing is the Islam of the terrorists.
Question.
Mm-hmm.
I've been asked many times this.
Mm-hmm.
How is it possible that the followers of Muhammad would actually depict him the way he was? Could you have an answer for me?
Yeah. You know what's interesting is if you read the preface to... any review of the Sirah, of the Sirat Allah, the prophet of which it's the messenger of Allah, which is the earliest written account of Muhammad's words and deeds. Everyone says the same reaction. How in the world can testimony so condemning of an individual? Because it presents Muhammad as a terrorist, as a mass murderer, as a torturer, as a liar, as a thief, as a kidnapper, as a pedophile. I mean, a rapist. Every vile behavior is depicted of Muhammad in the earliest written account of his life. And you say, how in the world could a religion emerge when the earliest and most accurate depiction of its founder is so disgusting? And so you ask Muslims, why are you a Muslim? Why would you trust the witness of somebody who is that vile, who was a rapist, who was a pedophile, who was a mass murderer, who was a thief, who was a slave trader. Why would you accept the testimony of a person that repulsive?
Yeah, Mike,
obviously, you've got to know, right?
Yes, yes. But you haven't answered the question to the people who are asking me. I can't give them an answer. All I'm telling them that the people who wrote about Muhammad wrote the way he was. They couldn't change it. No matter how vile it was, they had no intention of changing it.
Right. No, it's one of the things that you, when you are dealing with the Islamic scriptures, the Hadith and the Quran, the first thing you have to deal with is the fact that it's so poorly written and so filled with historical and scientific errors, and it's so internally contradictory that you have to deal with the fact that what you're reading is not true. And then you have to deal with the fact that there was no written Arabic at the time the Quran was allegedly revealed, and therefore you know that you're dealing with at least 100 years and sometimes 200 years of hearsay, of generations passing stories on orally. So the first thing you have to realize is that the very evidence that you have to deal with is incredible. Now, the next thing you wrestle with in all of that, and I'm sure you went through the same challenges, is that it's impossible to imagine that you would falsify the character of an individual to present that individual as a pedophile, as a rapist, as a slave trader, as a kidnapper, as a mass murderer, as a terrorist, if he wasn't so.
Exactly.
So even though the sources aren't credible, there is a 0% possibility that he was mischaracterized by the earliest zealots of the religion as a pervert.
Correct.
If he wasn't.
This is why I repeatedly said, and I don't mention in my opinion, it is by divine will, Qudra ilahiyya, and divine justice, Haqq or Adl ilahi, that the very hadith that explained to the followers of Muhammad is Quran and Sunnah, are the very same that utterly discredited Muhammad as a prophet and the alleged divine origin of his Quran.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, that fact, all you need to do to expose and condemn the religion of Islam is to expose the religion of Islam. If you present the material that's contained in the Quran and Hadith, and you combine them so you can rearrange the Quran chronologically and set it into the context of Muhammad's life, you destroy the religion 1,000 times over beyond any doubt and present it as the very inspiration for the hellish behavior we're witnessing today.
Yeah. Without Hebdo, whatever the cartoon is, if they had taken account of your book, because you were earlier than mine, and showed it on television, on radio, or news media.
Yes.
One article a week.
Yes. Yes.
In detail. I swear Islam would not exist.
Yeah, I agree.
It wouldn't exist.
Correct.
It cannot exist after that. It's impossible.
Yes. That's true. It's the argument against Islam, based entirely on Islam's oldest scriptural sources, is irrefutable.
Yeah.
And it's not just that the case against the religion is irrefutable. It's not like we're trying to expose and condemn a lie that tells people that dinosaurs were really pink and that that bunny rabbits lay eggs. That's not the lie that we're exposing and condemning. The lie we're exposing and condemning is an international crime syndicate. It's the most murderous, most depraved, most destructive, most deadly dogma mankind has ever foisted on the world.
Correct. Correct. And you know, we could destroy this cult belief system without war.
Correct.
Literally, without war.
With words.
Yes, only with words. Only with
just
facts. Only with reality. Islam.
With Muhammad's words. You know, in fact, if you just used Muhammad's words and exposed them, Islam would cease to exist, at least in any place where there is any degree of freedom. Islam would still exist in places where free speech is illegal and where to cease being a Muslim means that you will be flogged and killed.
It's very interesting when Muslims go on television and they are interviewed and they say that Islam is a religion of peace. Not a single person asks if it's a religion of peace, why do you slaughter those who lead it? It's a very simple question, not a complicated thing.
Right.
If you are a religion of peace, why do you have to slaughter anybody who leaves it? Why don't you let them go?
Right.
If it's a religion of peace, why did Muhammad begin it with a terrorist raid where he went and murdered civilians for the express purpose of robbing them?
True.
If it's a religion of peace, why did Muhammad lead and inspire so many terrorist raids in the first 10 years of the Islamic era? If it's a religion of peace, why did it wage war on the known world?
For 1,400 years.
Correct. And by the way, I left the last segment with a question to you, which is, when Islam, in its first 100 years after Muhammad's death, and following the war of compulsion, forcing all Arabs to become Muslims, when it engaged in conquest, was it to control territory, or was it to rob the victims?
It was to rob the victims.
Pure, simple, unadulterated, was for absolutely nothing more than that. It's what created the Islamic golden era, because they stole the gold, the treasures of all of those they plundered. We'll be back. Thanks for having a conversation with the most informed, most rational, and most courageous, I would think also the most compassionate man in the world, relative to the religion of Islam. His name is IQ Al-Rasuli. IQ, you know, we talk about the Ninth Surah confirming your statement that there is no such thing as a peaceful Muslim, that all Muslims are terrorists. They're all Muslims are jihadists, and the moment they pretend to be peaceful, according to the Quran, they cease to be a Muslim. That's all laid out in great detail in the Ninth Surah. But you know, one of the surahs we don't talk about a lot is the Fourth Surah. And really, the Fourth Surah sets all this up. Quran 4, 115, Quran 4, 12, Quran 4, 80, all state that Muslims must never contradict Muhammad. They must always obey his orders. And Muhammad's orders are consistently to terrorize, to rob, to plunder, to rape, to engage in all manner of vile behavior. And then Quran 489 tells Muslims that if a Muslim does not obey Muhammad's orders to engage in jihad, if they cease to be a Muslim as a result of being peaceful, the Muslims must kill them.
In crystal clear English language, Arabic language, and other 80 languages.
Yes.
It is exactly the same mantra.
Mm-hmm. And then if you take the last... Go ahead.
No, because people are willing to ignore it.
Yes.
In 80 languages... incites the follower of Muhammad everywhere on the planet Earth to destroy non-Muslims, and our leaders and the media are telling us they're wrong. They don't know what they're talking about.
So, if the Quran says throughout the fourth surah that you must never contradict or disobey Muhammad, and it's crystal clear, and if you disobey Muhammad and you cease to be a Muslim, that Muslims must kill you, then how in the world can Islam ever be compatible with anything civil when all we know about Muhammad is that he was repulsive? He was sexually perverted. He was a mass murdering terrorist.
Not only civil. You cannot find a rational Muslim anywhere on the planet Earth.
Yeah, that's true.
None. They don't exist. It's impossible. Right. And this is not a brushing... a whole 1.6 billion? No.
No, it's...
We deal with facts.
Yes.
Because the minute a Muslim is rational, he will not obey Muhammad.
Yeah, they cease to be a Muslim. Yeah, of course. You know, it's... there are so many reasons that if you look at what the Quran and Hadith reveal, that if you're a rational individual, you're going to reject Islam. If you're a moral individual, if you're a judgmental individual, you're going to reject Islam just based upon what Muhammad said and did. So the only way that you can be aware of what Muhammad said and did, and to continue to be a Muslim, is to be irrational.
Yeah, that's it. It's really very simple, honestly. That's what it is. Yeah. Tragically, we have our leaders again in the media, academia, even the clergy. Look at the Pope, what he's talking about. The guy is in cuckoo land.
Yeah, he is.
The leader of 1.2 billion Christians,
mm-hmm.
the very Christians that the Muslims are eradicating all over the planet Earth, talks about coexistence with it.
Yes.
And I mean, when you talk about coexistence with Islam, you're aiding and abetting an international crime syndicate. You're
correct.
Aiding and abetting the most murderous, the most destructive, the most demeaning dogma that mankind has ever conceived. That makes you an accomplice to murder. Now, this present pope, he is a pope for the absolute ignorant and irrational. This is the dumbest man that has probably ever held that position. And he is insanely popular with Catholics, which tells you something about that religion as well, which is that you can't be an informed and rational Catholic just as you can't be an informed and rational Muslim. But it is pathetic, and he is doing the same things that politicians are doing worldwide. Running cover, lying on behalf of this perverted religion.
And what is he gaining for it? That's the question. If he was gaining something for it, I would say, okay, he's doing something right.
But Muslims will never
appreciate what he's doing.
Of course not. No, they see it as a sign that their propaganda has prevailed.
Absolutely.
And they will continue, all good Muslims, given the opportunity, they would kill him in a heartbeat. And would kill anyone close to him in a heart, given the opportunity to kill him. In fact, the actual mastermind of 9/11, Ramzi Youssef, he was caught because he was engaged planning the murder of a previous pope.
Correct. Yes.
A pope that, by the way, kissed the Quran.